Okay, we're up to Siman Tofu, Eresh Yud Beis, and we are up to Sif Hey. Sif Hey is a little Sif, but a very important Sif. Shulchan Aruch teaches us in Sif Hey the following. Hod Bein on Shir, that we've been discussing so far, as we discussed the idea of it's still in this booklet, I believe. I think it's the last page of this booklet. I think it's the last page of this booklet. We discussed now the importance of that if somebody, we discussed the importance of a shear, that if a person eats a shear of something on Yom Kippur, that's when he's transgressed the Issa, and that's when he's Chayev, and that's when he's done the aveir of eating on Yom Kippur. By the way, I can't overemphasize the importance of Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Aleph. That was in the share, that was in the audio, about it's all about an inui. On Yom Kippur, it's all about inui. That it's the affliction part, which is you just have to make sure you are afflicted. Yeah, do you remember that, Mishneh Berurah? That's really important, that it's not about shear kezais or shear kebetza, or it's different. Normally, when you're eating a matzah, how much you need to eat to be fulfilling the mitzvah? A kezais. How much is it? Normally it's all about kezais in the size of an olive. Over here it's not like that. And the reason for that, it's a koseves, which is a date. Why is it different over here? Because the Chachomim understood that the Torah doesn't say you mustn't eat. The Torah says you must afflict yourself. You must afflict yourself. That's the inui, lo yisa'une. You must be afflicted. How do you achieve that stage of affliction? You are afflicted, you are ma'une, you are uncomfortable by not eating. Well, once you're eating more than a koseves, then you feel comfortable, you feel a bit satisfied. And that's where the shear of koseves comes from, which is unlike any other mitzvahs or isurim. It's never a koseves, it's always a kezais or other shurim. But it's the koseves part is because if you eat that, then you feel already a bit satisfied. Less than that, you haven't eaten anything. That's where it comes from, yeah.
Is that to say that every mashu is an issur?
Very, very good question. That's an extremely deep question. And as far as the Mishneh Berurah is concerned, I can't find evidence either way. That's a very good question. I can't answer your question. It's a lomdish question. Mr. Vigod's asking a question. Does that mean that every bit is an issur on its own? Oh, it's a lomdish question. But on that leads actually to Sifei. Sifei says the following. The bein on shear, that is a requirement of a shear, that you need a measure. Hainu lechiyuv koreis, that's in order to have a punishment of koreis, or chatos, or you need to bring a korban chatos. Aval isure ike b'chol shu, but an issa you have with any minute amount. However little you have, you're already on an issa. In other words, that although it's true that in order to be over on koreis, the huge, unbelievable punishment of koreis, that's true that you need to have the shear of a koseves, which is the shear of a date, a fat date. That's true. But anything underneath that doesn't mean that you're allowed to have. It's true that you feel satisfied. You must be in a stage of inui, of uncomfortable during Yom Kippur. But anything underneath the koseves, anything under the size of a date, the amount of a date, you don't really feel satisfied. It's as if you haven't eaten anything. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to eat that. Why not? Because it's true that the shear really is a koseves, but there's another rule, another klal, which teaches us, chatzi shear osur min ha-Torah. Chatzi shear, even a less than a measure, is osur min ha-Torah, is also osur from the Torah. There's an additional yalfus, another pasuk we learn elsewhere, that whenever you have less than a shear, you're still over biblically. And that is really something which doesn't only apply with regards to Yom Kippur, that really applies to anything else as well. Let me give you an example. You're not allowed to eat something which is treif. Can you give me an example of something which is treif? Some food which is treif for meat, yeah? Bas of a cholov. Anything like that. So really it's always a kezais. But it doesn't mean you're allowed to eat less than that of something also. But why is it also? Because chatzi shia, which literally means half a shia, but it doesn't mean half, it means even a small amount of a shear is also min ha-Torah, is also min ha-Torah. It's learned from a pasuk called Chelev, it's learned from the Gemara, you may learn it from somewhere. But this applies here as well, and actually the source is actually from here, that the Gemara Yuma says that chatzi shear also min ha-Torah. Now this over here, there's not much discussion over here in the Mishneh Berurah, but we have to realize that this makes a huge nafkamin of the halacha. Mishneh Berurah doesn't really discuss it so much. Because I'll tell you where, when somebody needs to eat, you know the concept of shiurim? Shurim, when somebody needs to eat, say a pregnant lady or a lady that just gave birth, or an ill person, somebody's unwell, an elderly gentleman or lady, and they need to eat because otherwise they're going to reach a situation of danger, so they have to eat a little bit over Yom Kippur. Now, we're talking about that somebody who obviously is medically, has to eat and drink. So how much are they going to eat? How much are they going to start having a party? How are they going to have? How much are they going to have? That's right. They have a kiddush. Yeah, kiddush cup. You know, this moment.
It has to be a ton.
Very good. Very good. We're going to address that. I want to mamash address that now. So the truth is that you can have what is called shiurin. Pochus, pochus, mekasher. You can have a little bit of a shiur. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? You have the plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have a little bit of that, a bit of drink, or you can have a little bit of, something like that, not to dehydrate, and you can have a little bit. What's the point? If we had just learned now that chatzi shiur osim in haTorah, why are you doing that? What's the point? You're doing an Issa anyway. It's true that you need to have a koiseves or meloy lugmo when it comes to liquids. We're going to get to that. But what's the point of having shiurim? We learned chatzi shiur osim in haTorah. Even less than a shiur, chatzi shiur, less than a shiur is osim in haTorah. So what am I gaining by having a little bit? Let me have a whole bottle of Coke. What's the difference? The answer is as follows, that although it's true that chatzi shiur osim in haTorah, but you don't have chorus on that. It's not so severe. It's not so severe. So although a person who is in that kind of medical situation, he needs to drink something, so he's medically, halachically permitted to have something, but let him only be transgressing a lower avera rather than a big avera. The lower avera, it's not an avera for him, obviously, but with the halach is hakal hakal. You have to feed him the least avera as possible. Let him do as little forbidden as possible. And you must only give him as little avera as possible. So it's true, if needed, give him like a bottle of, but if he doesn't need to, give him as little as possible. Now, there is a big difference, because once he's gone over the shear, he's going to be over one of five inuim, which is courage, which is a very, very severe punishment. But anything below that is an issa deraisa still. It's still midraisa, it's still biblical, but it's a lower level, because it's chatzi shear also min haTorah. Chatzi shear is still also min haTorah, but it's not courage. It's not just a huge, it's not us for us to say the Isurim, but yes, we do know that's a lesser punishment than one of the five Inuim. And that's where it's coming from. I think it's very important for us to realize what the Rabbonim are saying when they're passing to have Shurim. It's still Chatzi Shiur Osim in haTorah, but Chatzi Shiur is a lesser Avera, and therefore we're saying to somebody like that, do the lower Avera rather than the higher Avera. And that's what we're going to say. Now, with regards to what you're saying, yes, we are distancing. We tend to tell, the halacha is to tell them to have it in 9 minutes ideally, or if necessary, we can go all the way down to 3 minutes. But the point of that is because that's called Kedei Achilas Pras, which was discussed in Sif Gimel, that anything which is within eaten without that kind of time, it really adds up. You know what it's like? When you drink something, you don't drink anything in one go anyway. You're going to drink a bit, put it down for a minute, and you're going to have a bit more. So anything which is within the time period of Kedei Achilas Pras, which according to Poskim is anywhere between 9 minutes and 3 minutes, but generally we do pass 9 minutes, then anything which is within that period of time is considered one eating with a break in the middle, if you know what I mean. It's like considered one drinking or one eating. So therefore, that's where it's come from. So we say, distance it within 9 minutes and then have a bit later again, because that's considered a new eating. And that's where it's coming from. Yeah.
I remember, 1 year I davened Yom Kippur in the Izbe Minyan.
In Yerushalayim.
And there was a particular Tom Cotton there who I assume wasn't well enough to fast. And he spent all of Yom Kippur with an IV in his arm.
That's interesting. It's interesting, Shaila. This is following Shaila. The Shaila asked is, we know that if you have got an IV pipe feeding you, the consent of the postgame, it's a bit of a discussion, but the consent of the postgame is that's not considered eating at all. And it's not considered eating, and that's perfectly okay. So it's fine. So the shaila is, should a person who needs to, the question was asked, which is asked by, it's a contemporary modern shaila, person who can't fast, should he ideally feed himself before Yom Kippur, put himself a tube in, and therefore he won't have to eat on Yom Kippur because he's going to be fed in that way. That's the shaila which is asked. The poskim, what do you think?
Sounds better than shurim.
Sounds better than shurim. So the answer is, it certainly is halachically speaking better, because shurim is chatzi shiur osim in haTorah. This is nothing. It's not considered achila at all. And nevertheless, no authority that I'm aware of tells you should do it. You should. You don't have to go that far, because if you are, and the soul for that is as one of the, as they write that, because if you're in a situation you're allowed to drink and eat on Yom Kippur, then you're allowed to. You don't have to be fuller than what the Torah tells you. You know what I'm saying? You want to be an oibachuchem. You know, you want to be fuller than what the Torah says. You're in a situation that you have to look after yourself. So look after yourself. Right? Don't have to be more fuller than the Torah. Yeah, so you don't have to go that far, but that's interesting. It's definitely halachically better, really. Yeah,
it just seems to me that the rationale given for eating the shiurim is it's not exactly that reason, because there is a heter to eat. There's no avod being done whether he eats more than a shiur or less than a shiur.
So
it could be that have less than a shiur just in case the pasuk that he can eat might be wrong.
No, we're not going there. We're assuming that the psak is right. It's based on the concept of hakal hakal, that we only feed as much as necessary. The general, the rav is only, or the Torah is only allowed to, a person is only allowed to eat and drink as much as necessary. Anything within that is perfectly okay, and he must in fact eat it. Anything above that, he's not allowed to. We're only allowed to transgress as much as halachically allowing him.
So there will be someone, cholim, who have to eat more than the shiur anyway.
Definitely, and they'll be allowed to then. They'll be allowed to. In fact, it's a beautiful story. Pshlomo Zalman went up to somebody who was very reluctant to eat on Yom Kippur. Very reluctant. He was a Talmid Chacham, and he didn't want to eat on Yom Kippur, but he had to because he wasn't well. Pshlomo Zalman told him, he went specially to say, he was worried about him. He knew this. He was a friend of Pshlomo Zalman. He went to Pshlomo Zalman, went to him on Yom Kippur. He says, "I want to eat. Are you going to eat on Yom Kippur?" He says, "No, I don't want to eat on Yom Kippur." He says, "What's going to be?" He says, "No, I'm gonna fast." So Pshlomo Zalman says, "You only have one mitzvah. You only have one mitzvah now, and that's the mitzvah to look after yourself. And you're picking the wrong mitzvah. Yom Kippur doesn't apply to you now. You're picking the wrong mitzvah. You only have one mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of a chai boim, to look after yourself. And you're picking the wrong mitzvah because what you're doing now is you're not doing the right thing." So, but definitely, if a person is in that stage, then he certainly should. Okay, that leads us to Sivav. Ochal, this is very important as well. That's regards to tablets and capsules. Sivav. Ochal, acholim she'enum ruim la'achil. If somebody eats something which is not fit for consumption. Oi, alternatively, so the first case over here was talking about something which you can't eat because it's just not edible. We're going to get some cases soon. Yeah? Something not fit for consumption. Oi, sha'achal achilagasi, ate achilagasa. Achilagasa means when you've eaten just too much. Kegoin, such as miyad al achil sha'achal avim kippa. Such as, Shulchan Aruch says, if you've eaten a whole beautiful 5, 6, 7 course meal before Yom Kippur starts, and just as Yom Kippur says, as Yom Kippur starts, you're having the additional one more strawberries. You're going to have that more. So now actually, strawberries we're going to leave for a minute. We're going to leave for the. You'll see soon why. You're going to have one more portion of kegel, one more plate of I don't know what you're having. So that is considered achila gasa. You're overdoing it. It comes to a point that you're just overdoing it. That you're not enjoying anymore. That comes to the point that you just. You feel like, I'm going to pop. Do you know what I mean? So that is called achila gasa. He explains, Ache katz mezoinoi. He's disgusted, if I may say so, by his food. Potu, then he's potu. Two examples of Shulchan Aruch. You've eaten something which is not edible. You're potu. It's not really, you're not transgressing the Torah level. Or you're eating achila gasa, which is too much food. That's considered your potter for that. Now, he says an interesting point. Now that leads us to the strawberry ice cream. Ve'imochal ma'acholim mevusomim oy metuvolim al achilos achayv. He says, if you are eating some very spicy or hot foods, al achilos, once you're finished eating chayv, then you'd be chayv. Excuse me, I've misquoted this. Ve'imochal ma'acholim mevusomim oy metuvolim al achilos achayv. If it's spicy or very tasty, then you're going to be chayv. Why? The Rav Chalev Suma Shchicha. And that basically means there's always space for dessert. That's right. Always space. So when it comes to your ice cream, that, you're going to be chayav for that. It's true that if you're eating another slice of another, what can it be, a main course? And more and more chicken. Then, if you can't eat anymore, you just can't eat anymore, that would be considered achila gasa. You are potu. It's not, you're potu. It's osam adrabanon, but it's not biblical. But, however, that's called achilah. So if it's something which is not edible, you're potu. And if it's something which you've just overeaten, that's also considered, achilah gasa, also potu. However, Ravcha lepsume shchicha. Dessert, if you're having a second ice cream, a vanilla ice cream with a chocolate topping on top, then you're going to be chayev. Because there's always a bit more space for dessert. And we all know that. That's true. I don't think we're going to argue with that. That's a Shulchan Aruch that we can definitely relate to. There's always space for dessert. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here.
After the
very good. So that what it's talking about over here, the Shulchan Aruch really has got a question over here, is how do you actually reach the stage of Achil Agasa? How can you be potu on Achil Agasa? Because imagine you're eating on Yom Kippur. And you have to obviously eat something before you reach Achil Agasa. How does that work? So by definition must be you ate the seven course meal before Nach, before this man. And by this man you had that Achil Agasa. Otherwise it wouldn't be practical, you wouldn't be potu. Yeah? Have I answered your question?
So it's not the Achila that's the Issa, it's the that he ate on Yom Kippur that's that his potter for.
Correct.
And is potter Avodah Zarah or
potter? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, it is. The also be is any continues and not an additional point before we the also be kippa litum dova ulahaflit afilu atzepsomim. You are not allowed, it's really not a gear as well, you're allowed to taste something. First thing called litum to taste dova and after to spit it out. You're not allowed to taste something and spit it out on Yom Kippur. We're concerned on Yom Kippur, really, really concerned, maybe by mistake you're gonna swallow something. What does that remind you of? That's right. Tooth, mouthwash, anything like that. Yom Kippur, there's no way. It's a problem because we're concerned that maybe something by mistake is going to go in. Yeah.
Maybe we'll come to medicines.
Very good. I want to speak about that in less than a minute. Mitzvah Hashem. The afilu atzip some, even if it's woods like that have taste to it. Taste you wouldn't even although it's wood. It's wood. Nevertheless, you wouldn't be able to chew it and after spit it out. There would be no heter for that. Elel sim tovkuf samachzayin siv gimel behago. Now. Going back about the medicines. Okay, let's address that. The medicines is based on the count of two counts. What about medicines? You're allowed to take a medicine in Yom Kippur. Okay, so that we're not even going to mention. You're quite right, 100%. If it's life-threatening, somebody's like cutting the fascist, somebody anywhere near, anything that may come onto a potential, possible, dangerous, like cutting the fascist, nothing to talk about, that's fine. That's considered, that goes in the category of Cholish Yesh Be Sakana, and that's nothing to talk about. That is anything which is near Sakana or close to Sakana, a person certainly may take that medicines. I'm not referring to that kind of medicines. I'm talking about Cholish Ein Be Sakana. Something which has clearly, if you don't have that medicine, you're not going to end up, it's not life threatening, but it's an illness. It's an illness.
It sounds like it's rabbinically prohibited from this Shulchan Aruch.
What are you basing your psak on?
Well, it sounds like it's probably in the category of a regular pill. It's probably in the category of Shein Ruim Lechila.
Right.
Which he says Potter, which presumably means Potter Avodah
Zarah. Good, so excellent. Very like good. Okay, any other opinions on that? What do you think?
I agree with Potter.
Agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's really, what do you think? Yeah, so the consensus of the poskim is as follows. Again, I'm talking about Cholish Ein Beis HaKona, but I must, before I go, and I must say Cholish Ein Beis HaKona is not referring to something which is, you need to be Chole She'en Beis HaKona, meaning if you're not Chole at all, you wouldn't be qualifying into that category at all. In other words, if it's a vitamin, you're not going to be considered a Chole. You're just trying to avoid potential, or if you are just slightly, you've got a slight, you know, slight toothache that if you're bored, you think about it, and then, you know, that kind of thing. That I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the choyle. Choyle is a halachic term of somebody who is ill. There's no sakana. But he's ill. He's got a choyle. He's got a choyle. He's got an illness. Okay. A person like that, the consensus of the poskim is that actually it works as follows. As we learned now, that something which is not a food, which is something which is not edible at all. As you said, it's not roi l'achil at all. A pill really is not roi l'achil. It's not edible. It's not really fit for consumption. It's true, we can eat it, but it's not really an edible. It's edible because we can eat it, but nobody would eat it if not for the fact that it's a medicine. And that therefore goes in the category of something which is ain't roi l'achil really. It's actually, may even go into, some poskim want to go even, he said it's not even called into the food. It's actually more comparable to a stone or to a piece of wood, a piece of metal that just happens to be, you can swallow it and you want to swallow it. But it's not a food really. So it's a very low level of achila. It's a very low level of transgression. It's true that, let's say it is considered a rabbanon. Okay, let's call it a rabbanon. We're going to call it a rabbanon. It's definitely not a reise. Let's call it a rabbanon. Now, the rabbanon actually is permitted for cholish ein beis hakana. If it's a very low, very little shear. So I'm not talking about if you have like if you have to have a lot. But if it's a very low shear, less than a kesavas, and if it's a very little bit of food, if it's not considered a food item at all, cholish ha'im b'sakana would be allowed to do that. So it's a combination of two factors. Cholish ha'im b'sakana on one hand, plus a derabanon eating together are permitted on Yom Kippur. And that's the basis of allowing that to eat. However, that only goes as far as actually swallowing the pill. What have we got? What have we not allowed yet? Right, and that is actually more of a problem. That is very hard to allow that. And that is really hard. So the actual swallowing of a pill, you don't need to, it's no rocket science to allow that, as long as you're choler. But to allow the water with it, that's already a big business. Because that, what are you going to allow that on? On what basis are you going to allow to have that water? How are you going to allow that? Remember, it's a cholish ha'im b'sakana. Again, cholish yesh b'sakana, if it's life-threatening, you'll be allowing that because he needs that to have the medicine. But if he's a cholish ha'im b'sakana, on what basis are you allowing him to have that water? And that is a very serious shayla. That is a very serious shayla.
What about the medicine that he drinks? Is that also in the same category as a pill?
So that, it depends a little bit. It depends. Children's medicines generally, or if they're very sweet, they're very often considered roi l'achila, and they're much more severe. Often adults are made a little bit better, but they are still often considered not roi l'achila. They're really awful sometimes, so it depends a little bit on that. If they're really, really awful, they may also be considered Isad Abonon only.
So maybe that would be the answer, that he has to have a bitter...
Very good. So Lemaisa, everybody agrees that if it's possible at all to have those pills without water, ideally one should definitely do that. And it's not just Telechat Chile, it's really, 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 really what one should do. If not possible, right, some people can't. I mean, I'll never forget my grandmother, Leil Shalom, when she was old, she lived until in her deep 90s, and she would every morning, afternoon and evening, she'd have like a whole thing of pills to... I don't know if nowadays that people would still do that. She had a whole, I don't know how she kept cheshbon of all those pills. I don't know. It was like a whole, the green ones, the blue ones, the small bag. And she was able to just put them all in and just swallow them. So if it's ideally, one should definitely do that. One should definitely do that. However, if one can't do that, then you're 100% right. One should then make the water very, very, very bitter, either by breaking the actual... Or making it very, very bitter and very, very hard to, nearly undrinkable, and that would be the way to go forward with it. But that's the way to go forward, and that would be the consensus of the poskim what to do. However, again, ideally, one should definitely try to do without that. Definitely, but I think we can appreciate that understanding behind that.
How would you practice make the water bitter?
Often you can crack. You can open them up. So it depends which kinds of pills. You can open them up and then just put in the water, a tiny bit of water, and do it like that. That's often that works.
Yeah.
But the thing is with salt is that the tana is going to be awful the rest. So the fasting is going to be really, really tough, difficult. Yeah. But in theory, you're right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch is going to give us some examples of non-edibles, which are potu aval osu. Ochal alei konim potu. Actually, I forgot the importance. Sivkot Yudches. That's a very important, very nice as well. Sivkot Yudches speaks about smelling on Yom Kippur. So let's see that. Afilu atzei psomim shu eitz ba'alma demikol mogen shaloi soi magish tan. Mishnah Berurah teaches us that if you have a wood, people still have that sometimes. Have you seen that? It's woods that you bite and then some taste come out. You know, yeah, what? Yeah. So it's that you wouldn't be allowed to do because ultimately there's taste coming out and that you're not allowed to do Yom Kippur. But now that's the three lines I want to speak about. Avol mutar le'horiach, but you're allowed to smell lemanois minyan me'abruch. You're allowed to smell various spices to add up to your 100 brachas, because we know we're running quite low with 100 brachas, according to some counts. We're running quite low with 100 brachas that we need to do every single day. You know, there's a requirement to say 100 brachas a day. On a regular day, we are safe. Just think about three times Shemona Esses and the rest of our, benching our shiots, everything put together, we are normally fine. But on a Yom Kippur, it's different because you're not eating and you're running low with according to some counts, you're running low in mea brachas. So he said that some people want to make we want to smell. That's where the minute comes from, to smell psalmim in order to get brachas. Now he says, "V'kolzman shalosiach daitoim eloriach osulach zolivoch." He says that as long as you haven't, your mind is still you don't mesiach das. Your mind hasn't gone away from the initial, from the first time you smelt it. You're not allowed to make another bracha. So don't make every 5 minutes another bracha on the psalmim. You mustn't do that. Smell. I mean, make a bracha and smell, but then wait a bit, because if you're still like half, it's still a bit there, the smell, you can think about it. So you can't make another bracha. You need to be mesiach das. Distance your mind from it. I don't know how long that is. How long do you think that would be? Yeah, if you're in the middle of davening, say, it's the middle of... I'd say a bit more than that, maybe, but... You may do indeed, yeah. So, maybe a bit more, but something on those lines, maybe a bit more. But have a bochshe, it says that you mustn't do immediately another bochshe, the bochshe and the tzicha, that's considered a bochshe and a tzicha. V'yesh anoshen shemariach b'mayim amarichim. Some people smell on mayim amarichim. This is water which has smell to it. Shkirin spiritus, aval kshainu meriach, ein tzoch levoich alav klal, ve'ein mevorachim alav klal, and you make a bracha on that, ve'oisim issa, and you make an issa. Which over here the point is, that you have to actually, you can only make the bracha on the actual spice. You only make the bracha on the actual spice. If it's something, the spice has been processed into water or something like that, you would make a bracha on that. And I'll tell you what, this leads into a discussion of the poskim. Shlomo Zalman says, you have this, sometimes you see them, I've seen them in shuls, you want to make a bracha on, so if there's genuine spices, it's no problem, that's very good, you should make brachas on that and very good. But sometimes you have, they're made into, yeah. I think they're called so the Shlomo Zalman says you can't make a bracha on those. Shlomo Zalman says you can't make a bracha on those. If it's processed, if it's synthetic type of smells, which are made out of chemicals, rather than, do you understand what I'm saying? It's processed and it's made out of chemicals rather than, you're not actually smelling the spice. Shlomo Zalman says you don't make a bracha on that. I know that Acholkim, but Shlomo Zalman is very strong about this, that you don't make a bracha on that.
Perfumes might be okay and some not, depending on how they're...
I think that the perfumes is made into water, that's going to be a problem. Mm-hmm.
If it comes from rose petals.
Yes, yeah. So that's, I think, an important point to know. But the psalmim, a real genuine psalmim, that one should.
There's a bracha of
Sheminore.
So that's an oil there.
Yeah.
From water.
Yeah, but that also has to be... Yeah, that's a good point. Shlomo Zalman does speak about that as well. There's also some points about that which I don't remember offhand now. You can't always just make a bracha on it, but you're right. There is that bracha does, but it doesn't always apply. Okay, I just want to do save zayin before I'm going to finish there. Ochal aleikonim potu, some leaves, some types of leaves. If your person eats these leaves, then it's potu. It's only potu. But also avelula lula vei gefonim. And now it says, when it comes to grapevines, branches that grow out of the grapevine, then he says, "Shelivlu koydim rosh hashana potu." If they grew before Shoshana, if they sprouted before Shoshana, you are potu. The eight balmaim, it's just wood. It's potu. It's nothing. Vim livlu beretz yisrael rosh hashana yom kippurim chayev. But if they sprouted between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then actually be chayev because there is some taste to it. There's something to it. They're still soft. They're moist. There's some juice in it, and therefore if a person would eat that, those kinds of branches coming out from a grapevine, there's a bit more moisture in it, then actually a person would be chayv.